Hey there, welcome to the Collide podcast. This is Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide. I'm super excited to hang out with you. We are celebrating our 10-year birthday. Collide became a nonprofit 501c3 about 10 years ago. And so we're doing this fun thing on the podcast a little bit throughout this year. We're inviting people who played a huge role in this story that God has unfolded in the ministry of Collide. And I'll tell you what, 11 or 12 years ago, I had no idea Collide would be a thing. And man, it has become a thing. And I'm so very grateful. I've personally gotten the opportunity to sit in front row seats and watch God move and impact and run into and change women's lives. And today I got to interview Doug Bunnell, who was a just vital voice in my life and gave me a big fat yes. And that yes actually catapulted the Collide story. So take a listen. I hope this encourages you so that you can be that voice to give other people yeses and it catapults their calling. Check it out. Doug Bunnell and Sassy the Cat. It is so good to have you both on the podcast.
Good to see you, Willow. It's always a joy to spend time together.
Well, I've had you on this podcast before, but your cat Sassy has never joined us.
She's new. She's new to the family, but she enjoys being on Zoom. She likes to get pet whenever she can. So she's always looking for attention.
I don't think I've ever had a cat on the podcast. So, you know, this is good times. And I like that you named her after Ted Lasso.
Yes.
My cats growing up were named Benny and Jet, named after the song Benny and the Jets.
Elton John.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I love it. I love it. One of my favorites.
Well, I'm having you on today because we are celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Collide, which is crazy.
Yes, it is. It's very crazy. Wasn't it just last year? It seems like 10 years is a long time.
It was just last year when God handed me a job I didn't ask to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, amen. But if I rewind back, you know, Kim, who helps schedule the podcasts, asked me, you know, who would you want to have on for the 10-year anniversary? And I was like, well, definitely I want to have Doug Bunnell. If I rewind back to the story, and I wasn't looking to start Collide, but I was working in a college ministry. I had just returned back to my ministry job after taking 8 years off to be a stay-at-home mom. And I was leading this small group of girls since I was a stay-at-home mom. And we were colliding with Jesus. We were looking at the life of Jesus. And as we were looking at how he was bringing healing to wounded people in the New Testament, he was doing that in our lives. And I decided to come back to my ministry job and kind of follow along with these girls until they graduated. And you were my boss. And I worked at the church that you still work at. And I remember these girls wanted to keep meeting, and I prayed about it. And the Lord was like, no, it's time these girls teach the message. They've been studying scripture long enough. It's time they actually teach it. And so I came to you and I said, hey, what do you think if I did an experiment and we invite other women into this? And I had no idea what you were going to say. Do you remember this conversation?
Slightly. It was, I barely remember what happened yesterday, but I do remember, I mean, there was something so filled with the Spirit about this. It was such a fun season because it was just something that, you know, you had no idea where it was going, but you were it was very clear that the Spirit was involved in this. And you didn't know what the next 10 steps were, but you were trying to say, what's the next one step? What do we do with one? What's one step ahead of us?
Well, and I think it's funny that you might not remember it very well because it was so, ordinary. In the sense that I came to you asking how you felt about me sort of doing an experiment, and you just gave me a big fat yes. And I had no idea what would happen the next week, the next month, the next year, the next 10 years. But I look back to that moment and I think, wow, if you wouldn't have given me that yes, I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have started a thing that became something so much more than I could have imagined. So rewinding back to that ordinary moment where you just sort of like doled out a yes, is that something you always do? Is that something that someone did for you? I mean, why were you so readily like, yeah, do that experiment, go for it, I cheerlead you?
Yeah, it's I don't always do it, but I do. A lot of ministry is just experimentation. Most of us have no idea what we're doing in ministry. Ministry is this massive, wild, how do you help people grow in their relationship with Jesus? I've been doing it for 40 years. I have no idea. It seems so confusing. And so, you know, for me, there's a sense of a lot of it is experimentation. You know, it's harder to say yes is when you don't know other people. The truth is people are in ministry for a lot of weird reasons. You've experienced that, right? There's a lot of people that are in it for what it will do for them. And those are not always easy yeses because so mixed. But it was such an easy yes because there was just a clear sense, you know, you really weren't getting anything out of this. There was no salary. There was no, you know, this was just, you loved people. It was obvious you loved people. You loved Jesus and you were working on, man, what might that look like? So it was a fun yes to give. And I actually believe, I'm a big fan of the character Barnabas. You know the character Barnabas in the Bible? And Barnabas is the yes guy. Barnabas is this, no one knows very much about him. He only appears in Acts a few times. But Barnabas is the guy who takes a risk on people. He takes a risk on Paul, and he takes a risk on a guy named John Mark, who goes on to write the Gospel of Mark. If we didn't have Barnabas, we would not have Paul and we would not have John Mark. But Barnabas is just that guy who's willing to take a risk on people. And there were people in my life that have taken risks on me. And I see it as my job to take risks. I want to see other people succeed. I want to see them. And if success for me is trying new things, I mean, this whole ministry thing, you know, the church is changing dramatically. We cannot continue to do what we've been doing. So when there is someone saying, I want to try something different, might this be a way that we can reach out to people, especially people who don't come to church? So it was an easy yes, and it was fun to watch. It was fun to be a part of. It was so obvious that the Spirit was working in your heart.
Well, I'm going to be forever grateful that you took a risk on me. I think it's so interesting because on some level, you know, you sort of took the bureaucracy out of it. You didn't ask me to, you know, write a proposal. You didn't ask me to explain, you know, all the resources I would need or what my approach was going to be. I mean, you just simply gave me a yes. And I had a friend at the time, Colin, well, he's still my friend, but at the time he had taught me the idea that if you call something an experiment and it fails, it's okay because it was just an experiment. And so it was this free way to sort of just lean into something, go, it's okay if it doesn't work. But you did take a risk on me. You said yes, you cheerleaded me, and we started doing experiments. And I thought we would do one, and I think we had like 50 girls come, and it was a potluck and college age girls, and it was beautiful. And then we had another one. And we started to see these women leaders and pastors and counselors go, wow, this is so beautiful. Could you do one for all ages? And then we started doing them for all ages. And I remember when I felt like God was calling me to go speak and go write a book. And so I left my college position. And you had asked me to come, and the elders were going to pray over me and as a blessing as I left my position. And I thought, oh, that's so nice. And I showed up and I was in this room and you guys were so sweet to offer to pray over me. And I said, hey, just so you guys know, you hired someone for the college ministry position, but there's this thing, it's called Collide, and I'm leaving. You guys could have it. You could have it as your women's ministry. You could kill it. Like, you can do whatever you want with it. I wasn't thinking it was a thing. And I will never forget in that room, all y'all elders looked at me and you said, this is anointed and you need to pay attention to what God is doing. And it was a moment for me where I hadn't even considered that it was something I was supposed to continue doing. I was walking away from it, not thinking it was going to be anything. And you all spoke that into my life. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. It was such a, you know, I mean, the funny thing is, you're talking about Presbyterian process the way it's supposed to be. And it doesn't always work that way. We're usually more bureaucratic and we usually put in a bunch of stupid things that leave innovators feeling just stifled and like they never want to work in the church again. But there really is a sense that part of innovation and part of call involves the community. And you invited the community to pray for you and be a part of what was going on. And it was such an honor for us. And it was so obvious that the Spirit was a part of it. It was so obvious that God was, that fruit was coming out of it. And so it was fun for us to just say, how can we bless this? How can we do it? And the thing that I loved what our session did, and this doesn't happen all the time, is we didn't want to own anything. And we didn't want any credit. We want, you know, and you didn't want any credit. And that was one of the magic things, I think. That was one of the special sauce. When people are worried about who gets the credit, it really limits who you can be. But if you enter into something and you don't care who gets the credit, it is incredible what can happen. And I've walked with you long enough to know that this was not about your ego. This was about you responding to the Spirit. And the church, it was just a sense, what can we do to see this continue? We want to see God's name proclaimed. We want to see people come to Jesus. And we don't want them to become Presbyterians. We don't actually care if they become Presbyterians. That is not at all what we're about. We want to see them meet Jesus. So in some ways, it was the way the church should always be. This is the way community is to be. The community is to be encouraged and supportive and allowing God's Spirit to work. The hard part is sometimes communities have to say no. That's a hard one. And hopefully we do it with love and grace, but the no's are hard. The yeses are much more fun.
Yeah, I think the no's are hard, but honestly, I wouldn't have ever wanted to proceed if I was in a room full of no's. And,
exactly.
And I think what was interesting was I wasn't looking to proceed, and you guys gave me the gift of saying, Willow, pay attention to what God is doing. Like, look at what he's doing. And it really stopped me in my tracks. I think I'd spent enough time in scripture and loved the idea, maybe because of my childhood, maybe because, you know, I longed for spiritual mentors and people I could look to for wisdom, because I don't necessarily have that in my family of origin. Mm-hmm. And so I had read scripture long enough, and so much in Proverbs around when you make decisions, seek wise counsel, surround yourself with wise counsel. So I've always kind of lived with this idea of, I don't want to make any big decisions without wise counsel speaking into it. So it really stopped me in my tracks when a whole room full of people were like, you need to pay attention because God is here and God is doing something and you're about to walk away from it. And that truly was such a gift for me. And I wonder how often we could be doing that for each other. Like, I wonder how many of us are missing the opportunity to say, hey, pay attention to what God's doing right in front of you, in you or through you, in a way that almost wakes us up to the reality that we don't even realize is extraordinary.
Well, and the truth is, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, what was going on there was discernment. And discernment is paying attention to where is the Spirit at work in our lives. And we have taken our faith and we have made it very individual. And that is an idolatry. We live in a culture that has an idolatry toward individualism. And as such, we think that our faith is very individual. When in reality, when we read the scripture, faith is communal. Faith is deeply communal. When the Ethiopian, when the Philippian jailer, when he comes to Jesus, he is not the only one baptized. He is baptized. His whole family is baptized. When Lydia comes to Jesus, her whole family is baptized. There's this sense that communities were coming to Jesus and things were being done in community. And so that question of, you know, when can we do that for each other? Well, the reality is all the time, because we listen to the Spirit and we hear the Spirit from Scripture. Amen. Scripture is awesome. But we also hear the Spirit through creation. We hear the Spirit through all the other mediums around us. And I think we hear the Spirit through the people around us. And we need to pay attention. They help us pay attention to what's going on. The truth is, you and I have blind spots. We have lots of blind spots. And the fact that they're blind spot means that we don't see them. But the truth is, everyone around us can see much more clearly. And even people like you, I mean, you're a very intuitive person. You know that, right? You've got that gift. You're an intuitive person. You can see what's going on in other people. But that doesn't mean that you can see what's going on in yourself, because we're not objective. We don't get a chance to see ourselves from outside. Richard Rohr says maturity is when we come to understand what everyone around us already knows.
Well, you mentioned how hard it is to pass out no's. But no's are also a gift. You know, I think back and I think I have one life. So we're talking about maybe 12, 13 years ago. I don't remember. You know, we're celebrating 10 years, but that's nonprofit status. But this conversation that happened with you and the elders, that if I think back and I go, man, if I would have proceeded forward to do something that an entire room full of wise people in my life were saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it. What a like mess that would have become, and even a waste of my life. And like, I had you guys stop me in my tracks and say, yes, do this. You're confirming in me not only what God was doing, but you're even confirming what you thought I was capable of doing that I hadn't even considered. And so it was such a powerful moment. So I do think a no would have been a gift as well if the council didn't think it's what I should be doing.
The no's are gifts. They're harder gifts to receive. Yeses are easier gifts to receive. The no's are harder gifts to receive, especially when your heart is set on it. I mean, people ask me the question, how do I receive? How do I hear from the Spirit? There's a lot of different ways that I hear from the Spirit, but it is sometimes through the Presbyterian governance process when the elders all turn to me and say, no, we're not going to do that. I've got something I'm really excited about doing in September, and the elders just recently said, you know what? We don't think that should start in September. We think you need to wait a little while. And I did not want to hear that, but I really received that as, okay, that's a word from the Lord. I can hear that, I can accept that, and I can receive that as this is not the right timing. And the truth is, any yes is a no, right? You can't say yes unless there's a series of no's. If you had said yes to Collide and yes to everything else that you were doing, you never would have done it. Every real yes includes some no's. And so the no's are important. We just don't like to hear them. But
very true.
I think there are some really important no's and not yets that I have heard in my life.
So true. You know, you mentioned earlier that you had some people who took a risk on you. I'm curious if you can tell us about a few of those people and what was the risk that they took on you.
You know, I think back on it, and it started early on. I was a junior in college, and I was a camp counselor. And so during the summer, I would counsel students, and I loved it. And after doing that my junior summer, I was my senior year in college, and I get a call from one of the students I had counseled. And he just said, hey, you know, we want you to come and speak at our church. But I was a senior in college. I was young punk. I had no idea what I was doing. I had only been involved in one church. I'd only been a Christian for like 7 years at the time. And he said, we want you to come speak at our church. So I said, okay. Sure. You know, I like this kid. It was great. And I get there and I meet the youth pastor, and I am not speaking at the youth group, the whole church. And the whole church has invited this senior from college to come speak that they didn't know at all. And I've just reconnected. I reconnected with that youth pastor back down in California just 2 years ago. And I was like, I can't believe that you did that. But that was a very significant occasion. That was someone I didn't even know really well who was willing to take a risk on me. But throughout times, I mean, for the first 10 years, anyone who invited me to preach, you know, Earl Palmer did that when I was at UPC. Anyone who invited me to preach felt like they were taking a huge risk. To invite this young 20-something to stand up and address the church. And so whenever anyone did, I took that really seriously. So here's the funny thing for that. You would appreciate this, Willow. Since people were so kind to invite me to speak, often when new people were coming to our staff, I would invite them to speak as a way of saying, I really respect you and I want you to come preach. Some people, I think if I did that with you, you would hear that as trust and encouragement. Some people were so anxious that they finally were like, stop asking me to speak. So I was like, oh, you know, different yeses. Different people need different yeses. That was a good lesson to me, that was my way of encouraging and showing my trust in them was not being heard by them. So
I want to break that down a little bit, going back to your experience where this guy gave you an opportunity to speak at church as a senior in college. What do you think that opportunity did for you? Just that one single opportunity.
Well, here's what I tell people. You know, I really believe that every person has been given a, you know, the Bible calls it a charismata, but a spiritual gift. I believe every person has been given, and a spiritual gift is something you have been uniquely given that you use to build up the people around you. For me, I believe part of that is preaching and part of that is hospitality. But for others, I think there's a variety. I think some people are given the gift of listening. I think some people are given the gift of encouragement. Some people are given the gift of giving. I mean, there's just, the Bible says that we've all been given this gift that we bring to the community. But the question is, how do we figure it out? And so you were a follower of Jesus in the late 80s. You remember that back in the 80s, we used to fill out tests. We would do these tests to figure out what your spiritual gifts are. I am not a big believer in tests at all. But I do think the way you figure out your spiritual gift is you try different things and then you listen to the community. And so I encourage people, try different stuff. If you get asked to do something and you feel like, man, that's not my bailiwick, at least try it once and then see what happens, because you never know what might happen. So for me, it was people giving me a chance to try something. And it was a group of people coming around to me and saying, hey, the Spirit is in what you're doing. You need to do it more. And that's what the church should do. That's what community should do. Community should be able to call out the gift that they see. And we need to have other people call that out. The first question is, what's going on in your heart? Are you experiencing the joy of that gift? But the second question is the community experiencing that? Which is what the church was able to do for you. The session was able to gather around you and say, Willow, we see this. We see the Spirit at work in what you are doing. Pay attention to that. And I think the more and more that we can do that to other people, the more and more we can hear that. One of my heroes in that is a guy named Bill Palmer. You know Bill Palmer. You've met with Bill Palmer. Bill Palmer has the gift of encouragement, and Bill does this for people. When he sees someone doing something that's powerful and that the Spirit is at work, he has the boldness to just go up to them and say, hey, what you're doing matters. And it matters because you're doing it well and you're doing it with love and you need to keep doing it. And we need community. Community does that. That's what we do to each other. So it gave me an opportunity to try something, and trying something was important.
If you love Collide or have been impacted by our work, then we'd love to partner with you. We rely on the generous support of our donors to fuel the life-changing work we do to create spaces for women to collide with Jesus. You can join the movement by becoming a monthly donor or making a one-time donation. give online at wecollide.net/give or Venmo us. See the link in the show notes to give now.
Yeah, I think all along the way in my faith journey, by the way, I wasn't a Christian in the 80s, but I can okay, only imagine okay. what that would have been like. But I think all along the way in my journey, it felt like this person took a risk on me. This person gave me an opportunity, and then this person and this person. And it just kept unfolding a larger vision for my life than I would have ever imagined, ever thought I was capable of, ever believed I had a gift in me to use. And one of the things, though, that's interesting to me is you have not only been someone who gave me a yes and someone who's cheerleaded me, but there's also been sacrifice that's come with that. You and the church way back in the day said, okay, hey, here's $2,000 so that you can buy supplies for these events that you're throwing, and you can use our space, and you can, I remember coming to you one time frustrated because I wanted to use the white tablecloths that someone was hoarding for funerals. And I was like, hey, I want to use these for people who are alive. And you're like, yes, Willow, you can. But there was sacrifice all along the way. You and your wife served on the Collide board. You've let us come into your church building so many times to do events for women. You've loaned us chairs and tables, and you've met me for coffee and come alongside me and asked me how I'm doing. And you and your wife have donated things, or actually, I mean, it goes on and on. I don't think you're just a yes guy or just an encourager, but you're actually willing to do the work of walking alongside someone to see God's purpose in their lives be unleashed, even to the point that it might require time, it might require sacrifice, it might require giving. Why do you do that?
Well, it's funny that you would call it sacrifice, because I would never see that as sacrifice. You know, that never feels like sacrifice. That's just joy for me. That's one of my gifts that I love to do. And so, you know, in the midst of, you know, one, in terms of sacrifice, I am very good at sacrificing. I'm really good at giving away other people's money. It's one of my gifts. I'm very generous. I'm very generous with other people's money. But there's also the sense of, you know, sacrifice always feels like, gosh, it cost me something. But I've gotten so much out of it than I've ever put into it. It's so much fun for me to see Collide grow and change and become what it is and become what it's supposed to be. It's been so much fun just to walk. I mean, it feels like it's been like watching a child grow up. It's just so much fun to see this thing that was just an idea come into this fullness of excitement. I mean, we brag, you know. We brag about Collide all the time. Whenever we're talking to people, we're like, have you seen this? It is, so, you know, here's a picture. And I have like 10 pictures in my wallet. Hey, come look at Collide. We're so proud of it. We're so excited for it. We're so thrilled about it. So, you know, I think it's calling it sacrifice is like saying that parents sacrifice. And yes, parents sacrifice. But on the whole, parents are doing what they do because they love. And for me, I love Collide and I love you and I love seeing you grow into the person that you're supposed to be. And, you know, that's so much fun for me. And it's such a joy to just say, man, you know, I mean, you're this incredible person, Willow. God has created you to be an incredible person, but you haven't taken your foot off the gas. You're growing, you're changing, you're listening, you're paying attention to the Spirit. You're such a different person than you were 10 years ago. You know, there's this depth that, and that depth comes because you've been willing to walk through, let's be honest, you've walked through some hard wilderness times. There have been some valleys. There's been the shadow of death for a while, but you've walked through it and you've seen God at work, and it's a joy just to be able to accompany you with that. So I think that's the body. That's what we do. We companion each other as we walk, and that's what you're teaching women to do. That's what you know, Collide is doing so much. I mean, you guys do it. You do it with class. You do it beautifully. You do it elegantly. You do it with beautiful graphics. But you're teaching women to companion each other, to be a community, to walk with each other. That's kingdom work. That's holy work. Your question is, what is God doing with Collide?
Very true.
What's Jesus doing with Collide? I mean, and look at it. You guys have this budget. You got this big old budget, and it needs to be bigger. Please make it bigger. God, bring more donors.
It's not that big, Doug.
It needs to be bigger, but it's bigger than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, when it was $0. We've definitely doubled. We've doubled our $0.
But it's,
no, yeah,
it's
God
been,
has been so good.
He has been good. He has been good, and it's been exciting. And it's not at all what any of us thought it would become. You know, none of us could have looked in the future and said what this is. But that's, you know, there's a verse in John when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus says, the wind blows where it blows, and no one knows where it comes from or where it's going. And then he says to Nicodemus, so it is with. And we expect him to say, so it is with the Holy Spirit. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, so it is with the people of the Spirit. And Willow, you know this. You're a person of the Spirit. And that means you're unpredictable. We can't put you in a box. We can't say, oh, I can tell you what Willow's going to say. There have been so many times that it's been so fun to see you come out of that box because you're following the Spirit. And you're inviting your staff to follow the Spirit. And you're inviting people of Collide to follow the Spirit. That's unpredictable. It's a little dangerous. It's pretty exciting, though.
Well, as Jesus followers, it should be a little dangerous because following Jesus is very, it's not safe, I'll tell you that. You know,
it's not safe, except I can't think of any place safer. What's really not safe is to not be in God's will. That's not safe.
Yeah, I agree with that. Doug, I'm not calling you old by any means, but you're more seasoned than you used to be. And I'm curious, as you get older and you start thinking about things like legacy and the things that really matter, and you look back and you think about not just what you were able to do, but the ways you were able to speak yeses into people's lives, the way that you were able to give people opportunities and take a risk on other people's lives, how much does that start to really like mean something more to you the older you get?
Yeah, it's a great question. I used to care about legacy a lot more 20 years ago. I don't really care about legacy that much because, you know, I mean, here's my theory on life. I think we spend the first half of our life creating our ego. And the first half of our life is really important. What am I going to leave? I mean, I'm sharing this. Don't tell anyone else this. Don't tell anyone this, okay. Willow. I'm sharing this. I came to FBC 21 years ago, and the main question was, how am I going to leave my imprint on this church? And that's a legacy question. How am I going to leave my imprint on this church? 21 years later, I'm thoroughly embarrassed by that attitude. That feels like a very arrogant, egocentric attitude. Because really, right now, my question is, how can I be faithful to this church? How can I be faithful to the job that God's given me? So, you know, I mean, I will be honest, I don't think about legacy much these days at all. I just think about every day, Lord, what do you have for me to do? And how do I do that with love? And how do I do that with grace? Do you remember Dottie Masson? Can you remember back to Dottie Masson in our church? Dottie Masson was a saint. I expect that you knew that. She was just this incredible follower of Jesus. And whenever I would go see her every day, she would say, I wake up in the morning and I wait to hear the Spirit's marching orders. And when the Spirit gives me the marching orders, I go and do that day. And then I go to bed. And I wake up the next day and I await the marching orders of the Spirit. And I remember listening to her and I was like, oh my gosh, what a great way to live. And so that's the life I try to live these days. I try to, because legacy was really, how do I pass on what's important to me to the people around me? And in the end now, after having done that for a number of years, you know, what's important to me is not that important. But in the end, what's important to God? And so for me, the question is, okay, Lord, where do you want me to be involved? How do you want me to do it? How can I be the person who loves you in this situation? And the truth is, I've done this enough that I know that I'll have no idea the impact that it came. You know, the joke that we say in ministry, and you need to hear this, Willow, because it's really true for you. God very rarely lets us see our fruit, because if he did, we would eat it. There is so much fruit that has gone from Collide, and God has very kindly not let you see it. If you knew the impact that you were making on a regular basis in Collide, you would have a huge swelled head. You would feel incredibly arrogant. But God keeps us from that. God doesn't let us see all the fruit that we have accomplished. And God just gives us enough for us to say, okay, that was worth it. That little moment was worth it. That was it. I'm going to keep doing it.
I love the words of Dottie, that she woke up every morning and asked the Lord for her marching orders. But I certainly think that you, Doug, have said yes to yours, and you have been faithful, and your faithfulness will leave a legacy, even if that's not your motive, it will, because I'm someone who has experienced the legacy of your yes and of you giving me an opportunity and taking a risk on me. And I'll be forever grateful, and anyone that God uses me to impact was in a roundabout way impacted because of you, and you were impacted by so many other people. So I think our yes and our encouragement of each other has this ripple effect that goes beyond what we can ever know and beyond what we need to know.
So, absolutely. Isn't that exciting? And that's the kingdom, right? That's what the kingdom is. And you guys are doing the kingdom work in Collide as you open up places and invite women and say, you have a role, you have a place, you have a seat at the table, and we need you to be here. And you guys are reaching women that the church is not able to reach right now. And that's the thrilling part. And you're inviting them into that kingdom life. It's exciting. Why would you want to do anything else? This is great.
Well,
work.
I definitely have my days, Doug. I have my days. Not today, though. You and I could talk forever, but I do think about people who are listening, and they have an opportunity to take a risk on someone right now. And it feels like a risk in some way, shape, or form. What's your encouragement to them?
Oh, stick your neck out. Be willing to put your reputation on the line. It's scary. It's dangerous. But I would encourage people. That's why we live. We exist to support and encourage other people. And I especially say this to people my age. Younger people need to know that there's people out there who believe in them. Younger people need to know. We used to say that every child, resilient children, have at least one non-exploitive adult in their life. But we all need that. We need that non-exploitive older person who takes an interest in us and takes a risk on us. Good leaders are called to encourage and support growth. And one of the leaders in my life loved to invest in people that he thought were going to be more successful than he was. And he was never threatened. He just thought, I want to invest in the people that are going to be better at what I do than I do it. And that was very obvious to me. Willow, you are better at what I try to do than what I do. And it's so much fun to see you flourish, because it was clear, it was so clear the way that God is at work and the gifts that you've been given, and the fact that you've been willing to use those gifts in kingdom work is a joy for me. So I think as we look, I would encourage people, find people that are better at what you do than yourself, and then encourage them and bring them along.
Doug, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your encouragement, your yes, and the ripple effect that you've had on my life. I'll be forever grateful for, and even this conversation, encouraging people out there to give other people opportunities is so good. So thank you so much for helping celebrate the Collide 10-year anniversary.
Happy birthday. We're proud of you. We're excited.
Happy birthday, Clyde. Thanks, Doug. Friend, I hope that conversation encouraged you. We all have people in our lives that we can take risks on. We all have people we can encourage. We all have people that we can hand opportunities to. And when we do, it does something that builds them up, that catalyzes them, that confirms a gift in them that they need to see. And so my encouragement to you is to think right now about who in your life God might be asking you to encourage, to take a risk on. And maybe do it today, like right now. Call them, invite them into something, give them a chance, confirm a gifting you see in them. It really only takes a moment, but it can be life-changing. I think about Doug and how his yes and his belief in me and him handing me opportunities unfolded a story that has impacted so many people that I could have never imagined. There is power in taking a risk on other people. So friend, let's do that together. Let's keep colliding with the one who took a risk on us, the one who believes in us, who loves us, and continues to unfold opportunities for us, and that is Jesus. We'll catch you next week.